All right, Josh, we are back for another episode of Not Quite Pixar. Josh, tell the people what we're going to be talking about today.
Today we are going to be talking about a movie that's not quite a Pixar movie, though it is made by the owners of Pixar. Though at this time, they were not affiliated at all. We are talking about The Lion King, the 1994 Lion King. I hope that we didn't clarify that.
That's what I watched.
You didn't, I'm sure you didn't watch the not live action one. So,
yes, we watched the cartoon Lion King, which is definitely nostalgia based. There's a lot of nostalgia going on for that movie. I don't really know Shakespeare at all, but apparently this is based on the Shakespeare play Hamlet. Is that something you interacted with? Have you ever really kind of read through, like maybe in high school or something? I haven't. So if you haven't, it's not a big deal. Is that something like how, I wonder how connected they are.
It is not.
Yeah.
No, I'm not, it was not the Shakespeare that I read. So I don't know.
Right. Although, read every Shakespeare but that one, I guess.
Read Romeo and Juliet. That's it.
Right.
And had my fair taste of it and decided I won't read any of the other ones.
Yeah. No, Shakespeare is not exactly for us, I don't think, which is fine. But anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that they kind of made this movie about lions based on a Shakespeare play or whatever. And so, why don't we just go ahead and jump into our Remember Me section?
Let's.
Remember Me.
On the day we arrived on the planet. I don't know the rest, but that's how the movie starts, with this African chant that turns into the circle of life. And we see all of these different animals walking, interacting with their environment. And it is just this really cool scene where we get to kind of just be thrust into what our environment and what we are going to be looking at, and who, like, we're kind of just thrust into what this movie is all going to be about. And so we see all of these different animals, they're literally everywhere, just walking towards something, and we eventually see what they are all walking towards, and it is this rock formation. I don't even know how to describe it. How would you describe it, Josh? It looks kind of like an L, but not really. Like, how would you describe it? Pride Rock.
Like a super long, like, slab of rock that fell and got supported by another rock.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. Okay, and on the top of this rock, we see some lions. We see like a baboon. Is he a baboon? Is Rafiki a baboon? He is, isn't he?
I think so.
He's some kind of monkey creature thing. And we see that there is this baby lion. And we see that they are celebrating this baby lion. And by the end, the monkey puts, Rafiki puts Simba up into the air, and all of the animals bow down to him, kind of helping us to understand that the lions are the rulers. They are the kings of this location of where we see. Oh, he's a mandrill. I just looked it up. Rafiki is a mandrill, which is apparently different. And we see that the kings are, or the lions are the king of this place, and all of the animals bow down, and they are making sure that they honor Simba, and that is kind of where we are left with that scene. The next scene that we see a young Simba who is just trying to be a kid lion. You know, he's just trying to enjoy life, and he's chasing after like this bug thing or whatever else it was, and we see that he is just kind of hanging out, living life, trying to be the best little lion that he can be. And we see that he is annoying this this bird, a hornbill named Zazu. Zazu is kind of like a, how would you say it? Like a worker for the king. He's like the king's right-hand man. And then we see the king, Mufasa. Mufasa is Simba's dad. And we see that they are just kind of just hanging out and all of that. And we see that Mufasa is teaching Simba some different things, and they just having the time of their lives, and they're enjoying life together, and they are enjoying each other. And so then we kind of move, and we see that Mufasa shows Simba the Pride Land and shows him and just basically says, all of this could be yours. Like, all of this is mine, and one day you will be king and you will be the ruler over all of this. And Simba kind of says, what about that over there? That dark shadowy place over there. And Simba, or and Mufasa says, no, we don't have anything to do with that. Please do never go there. It's awful. It's an elephant graveyard, and we are not allowed to go over there. And so we see that that is that conversation. Then we fast forward to another lion, and this lion is, he almost looks like sickly. He doesn't look very fat. He doesn't look very healthy. And he has this giant scar on his face, which is his name appropriately. His name is Scar. And he talks about how he is so jealous of this dumb little lion that if Mufasa ever passed away before Simba was there, he would have been king and everything would have been great for him. But now that Mufasa had a son, Simba gets to be the next in line for king, and Scar is kind of just thrown to the side. And so he is very upset, and he wants to make plans to get rid of Simba. You can obviously tell this is going to be the villain of our movie, hands down. There's really no question about it. Later on, we see that Simba is trying to talk his best friend Nala into going on an adventure. And Simba has the idea that he wants to go and see the elephant's graveyard, even though his dad told him not to. And so they kind of get their mom's permission. But right at the last second, the mom says, you can go to the watering hole, which is what they told their mom they were going to do, only if Zazu goes. The annoying little hornbill Zazu. And so they start walking, and Nala and Simba are kind of making fun of Zazu, and Zazu gets, he's like, well, if you're gonna be king, you've got to shape up, because I've never seen a king act like you. Like, I can't believe that you're ever gonna be king because of the way that you are so disobedient and so rude and so all of this. And Nala and Simba get this idea, okay, we're gonna peace out, we got to get rid of this guy. And the way that they do it is they break into song, and Simba starts talking about how he just cannot wait to be king, which is the name of the song. And so he wants to be king, and he's talking about all these things that he's going to do when he becomes king. All the while, these animals are like twisting and reacting to Simba, and chaos ensues. And by the end of the song, I think Zazu is sat on by a rhino or something like that. And they are able to escape. Okay. And so they go towards the elephant graveyard, and they get closer and closer, and it is very, very spooky. It's like freaky. And it's very much like a graveyard. It's like there's bones everywhere. You see elephant skulls, and it is just a terrifying, terrifying place. And so they're adventuring, and then out of nowhere, three hyenas pop out and start to chase after Simba and Nala. Their names are Shinzi, Banzai, and Ed. And so they are very much like, we're going to eat you. Like, we are going to do this. And apparently there's some kind of contract almost where the lions and everyone in the Pride Rock were not supposed to come into the elephant graveyard. And they wouldn't mess with the hyenas. But since they did, they're basically talking about how we can now do what we want. We can eat the lion if we want. And so they start chasing after him, and they run away and they run away and they run away. And it looks like they're about to escape, but Simba trips or something. And it looks like they're about to get them. But out of nowhere, we hear this loud roar, and Mufasa jumps in and saves them from the hyenas. And so they get saved from the hyenas. They go back towards, they're walking back towards their house. Zazu takes Nala home, but Mufasa wants to talk to his son. And Mufasa basically says, I can't believe you just did that. I specifically told you not to do this. Why did you disobey? And he punishes his son. But by the end, they actually have this wonderful conversation about how like Mufasa loves him. That's why the rules were there in the first place. Like, I want the best for you, and I know what's best for you. And so they have this awesome, sweet conversation, and they end up playing in this field, and it's a really cool scene there. And then let's see. Later on that day, what happens next? They basically go to Simba talking to Scar, and we see that they're in this big open thing, and Scar is telling Simba that he wants to set a surprise for his dad, and so to wait here, and he's gonna go get Mufasa. But Scar has set up a trap to where these wildebeest will come out of nowhere and trample Simba was the plan. And Scar was going to make it look like an accident. And so they do that. Simba is terrified. Scar goes and gets Mufasa, and they run towards to try and save Simba. And after a big long scene of adventuring and terrifyingness, we see that Mufasa saves Simba, but is trying to get out of the little ravine where they're at in the little valley. And he's like, okay, help me, Scar, help me get up so we can be out of this. But Scar has other plans. He literally puts out his claws and rips into Mufasa's hands and makes him fall back into the valley where the wildebeest stomp him to death. And it is terrible, and it's really sad because we see the scene of Simba going after Mufasa and saying, Dad, I'm sorry, and he feels like it's his own fault, and Scar doesn't help that any because he tells him that it's his own fault, and he says the only option that you have is to run away, like you need to run. And so that's what Simba does. He runs away. And Scar goes back to the Pride Rock and basically tells them that both Mufasa and Simba have passed away, meaning that who is the king? Scar. And so that's where we leave off with that. Then we go to this open field, and we see that Simba is very tired and needs water. And we see these two animals running towards Simba. We see Timon, and we see Pumbaa, and we see that they are trying to help Simba get out of the situation. But once they realize that he's a lion, they start freaking out a little bit, but then they see that he's just a baby lion or a younger lion. And so they're like, well, maybe he can help us. Maybe he can protect us. And so we kind of have this conversation between them and Simba, and we ultimately get to figuring out what these guys are all about. We get to realize that these guys live life in a way that nothing matters to them. Their motto in life is Hakuna Matata, which basically means no worries, is how they say it. And so they sing this song about how they can live a life, they can just eat grubs, no worries. They just enjoy every single day. They live life to 100, no worries about anything or anybody, and they just live life for themselves. And so Simba is all about that. And so we see Simba kind of growing in this this montage, and we see that Simba eventually grows into this big lion, and he's still eating grubs, and he's still just living this life with Timon and Pumbaa. And so after the montage, we see that they are just enjoying life. But while Pumbaa, I think, is out exploring, getting some grubs, this lioness comes out of nowhere and starts this crazy, crazy chase scene. And Pumbaa is freaking out. And so he starts running, running, running. And eventually Simba fights for Pumbaa, and we figure out that this lioness is actually Nala, Simba's best friend from when he was young. And so they have conversation, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, you're still alive. You have to come help us. Scar has been in charge, and the Pride Rock is awful. It's dry, there's no water, there's no food. Like, we are going to have to leave Pride Rock. Like, it's awful. You need to come back, and you need to help us. And Simba's like, no, I can't. No one will think, what will they think about me? Like, I killed my father, essentially. And so Nala is all the while trying to talk him into coming back. And we see this montage scene of Simba and Nala kind of, you know, feeling the love, you know? And they are, Timon and Pumbaa are singing Can You Feel the Love Tonight, which is a funny scene as well. Timon and Pumbaa are certainly the comedic relief in this movie by far. That's pretty much their only role, which is and so, but by the end, they're still talking and Nala is insistent, you have to come back, you have to come back. But Sybil's like, no, I'm not coming back. And they get in this big fight. And so Nala goes back. And Simba is just feeling awful because he knows what he did to his dad, or what he thinks he did to his dad. He knows what's happening to Pride Rock and he's just conflicted. And so he goes on this walk and basically he sees his dad's reflection in like a puddle or something like that. And in the stars, I think, something like that. But it's really just him. And Rafiki tells him, like, hey, like, you are your dad's son. Like, go lead. Go be just like your dad. Go do that because you have it within you. And so that is the spur that he needs. And he goes and he goes to confront Scar. And when he gets to confront Scar, he asks for Timon and Pumbaa to be a distraction. And they do the hula in drag, which is probably not exactly great in today's climate, but and so that happens, and so all the hyenas go after them, leaving just Scar and some other lions to be at Fried Rock. And so they talk and they're arguing, and eventually it leads to this big fight where Simba wins. And so Simba is the rightful king of Pride Rock, and we see a montage go towards the end, and we end this movie in the same place that we begin, with a whole bunch of animals coming to Pride Rock and bowing down, as we see that Simba and Nala have their own little lion cub. And that is how the movie ends. Woohoo! What you got for us?
Good job, Zach. Lion King, the 1994 animated musical drama directed by Roger Allens and Rob Minkoff, which is, there for being such a notable movie, they've done nothing else of note. It's very, very odd. Roger was involved in a lot of other big Disney movies, but was not the director of any of them. I didn't recognize a single other movie that said that he was the director of. And Rob did Stuart Little.
Yeah.
And Stuart Little 2.
The Haunted Mansion. And Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which is actually a pretty good movie.
Yes. Yes. Rob did do some other stuff, but not much. And it was a while before it was just kind of odd. For being the directors of probably one of the most notable movies in that year to not really doing anything, it was kind of weird that they didn't get anything. Whereas on the other side of things, the music was done by Hans Zimmer, who's still a main name. He did Pirates of the Caribbean. He did, there were a few other ones, but the main things that stick out is basically he became the only person that Christopher Nolan would use.
Right.
So the Dark Knight trilogy, Interstellar, Dunkirk. We'll get in, that's not worth diving too much into, but I love Christopher Nolan movies. They're some of my favorites. This is the 32nd animated film by Disney, and it is the fifth in what is called the Disney Renaissance. Zach, have you ever heard of the Disney Renaissance?
I can't wait for you to tell me about the Disney Renaissance. I'm pretty sure I've heard that phrase, but I don't exactly know what it means, so go ahead.
It was a period of about 10 years where Disney released 10 movies that were just some of their most critically acclaimed. It's the most, that made the most, that did the best, and that when you look at the list, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Those are some of their most notable movies.
So when you think of Disney movies, you think of those movies.
You think of mostly just think of the movies that came out during the Disney Renaissance from 1989 to 1999. So I give you those years. I'm not going to let you do anything with it. And in 22, I'm going to see how many of those you can name.
Okay, I was about to look them up. I'm glad you said that.
Yep. So we'll come back around to that. I've got them listed, but we'll come back around to that. The Lion King had a budget of $45 million. And it made $968 million in the box office. That is,
when you think about it, here's my thought about it. I bet, I wish there was a way we could look it up. I bet The Lion King has been released into theaters more than just the initial theatrical run. I bet they've thrown it back a few times. I'm just guessing. I bet we could look that. Yeah, there's even a thing on the Wikipedia page that's re-releases. It was released in 2002 in IMAX. They re-released it in 3D. And so because a movie back then wouldn't have made as much. And so it's kind of interesting to see that they've re-released it a few times to bump that number up. Yeah.
Yeah, that number has continued to grow.
Yeah.
It won 5 like really notable awards, 3 Golden Globes and 2 Academy Awards. It won a couple Annies and some other things too. But it was for the Golden Globes, it was the best motion picture, best original score, and best original song. Can you guess which song?
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Correct. Yeah. And this 2 Academy Awards were for the same thing, original score and original song. Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And that's my most notable stuff. Some of the fun stuff. The most interesting thing to me was that it's a part of the Disney Renaissance. I'd never heard of it until I started looking in. I read just barely about it when I saw it in there and thought, oh, that's interesting. And that'll be fun for us to talk about it. There's a couple that are interesting ones on it, and there's a lot that are like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Have you looked up the Rotten Tomatoes score?
Oh, I didn't. My bad.
I
got it, though.
I tried to look it up, but I looked up the live-action one.
I did the same thing.
Okay, here it is. Okay, it's sitting at a 93 for both.
Nice. That seems about right. What do you think?
We'll get into it.
All right.
Why don't we move on?
Let's get into it.
Why don't we move on to making our mark?
You've got to earn your mark by doing something big for something bigger than yourself. Someday you'll all make your mark, and I can't wait to see it.
Josh, let's get into making our mark. I'm excited to see how this movie makes its mark. As I said at the beginning, there's definitely a nostalgic factor. So let's see how this movie stacks up beyond just that initial nostalgia. What do you have for general attraction?
I was not born yet. So I'm going to go with what my general attraction, what I kind of think that I would have had, in addition to kind of like how I feel like leading up to like doing this episode, which I gave it a 9 because this is a movie that I thoroughly enjoy. And I think that it would have been something that like leading up to, I would have been really excited about. I remember that when they were going to make the live action one, I had a lot of excitement for it because of how much I liked the old one.
Right.
Boy, was I let down.
So I got a 9, as well. This movie is a staple. It's known for being good. I was excited to watch it the other day, and so it definitely is, like you said, one of Disney's, like when you think about Disney, you think of the Lion King. And so general attraction is pretty high for this movie, so I gave it a 9 as well. All right, plot. I gave this plot an 8. I think that it's decent enough. It's a decent enough story. It's not super in depth. It doesn't really go the extra mile as far as plot goes, but it tells a story that for the most part makes sense. You can see the characters doing what they do and doing it on purpose and making the decisions they make. That all kind of makes sense. And as I said before, it's literally based on a Shakespeare play. Feel like while we don't really understand what he's doing there, a lot of people do, and a lot of people like that and respect that. And so the plot of that play translates to the plot of this movie, and so 8 for me.
I gave it the same. Pretty much all just flows well, makes perfect sense. There's a couple things that, like, 2 of the biggest, like, moments where the plot, like, changes, where, like, this happened and it changed the course of the story, are just kind of, like, good coincidences. Timon and Pumbaa finding Simba is just kind of a coincidence, but obviously the story doesn't happen if it doesn't happen.
Right.
It's not really forced, it just happens, not for any good reason. And the same thing with Nala finding Simba in the woods. It's kind of like she just happened to be in the right part of the jungle because she was searching for him. And I guess if you're searching all through the jungle because you don't have food anywhere else, you're bound to run into each other eventually. But it was right. Probably a very big area, it is coincidental and for the story important that that happened. So I took a couple points off just because of the happy coincidences.
Let me talk you into how the second one might not have been a coincidence. What do we know about Pumbaa?
He's a pig. He's a warthog.
We know really one other thing.
He smells.
He smells. And so if Nala is in the jungle and she's hunting, she's using her sense of smell, what does she find?
That's funny.
The stinkiest warthog in the jungle.
That's funny.
All right, themes. What you got for themes?
Themes I gave it a 9. There's really most notable is that though Hakuna Matata tries to tell you that everything's in the past, the primary theme, I think, of the movie is that you can't run from your responsibilities.
100% what I got, yeah.
So that's, and I think that that's incredible. It's tempting to try to. And to forget about it and try to ignore things that you don't want to deal with. But you can't run from your responsibilities. Ultimately, they're yours to carry, or somebody's going to have to pay for it, whether it's you or someone else.
Yeah, I gave it a 7 because I didn't really think that. I mean, he could run from his problems and he did. And so I get where the theme comes from, but I don't know that it set it as strong as I'm feeling. So I gave it a 7 for pretty much the same reasons, but that might just be our difference of assigning points because I feel like we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Animation. I gave this animation a 6.
Okay.
It's decent at best. There are some areas when for the time, I feel like they did a lot. I think as far as the characters, they went for a theme, and I feel like they succeeded at what they were trying to do for the characters. The backgrounds look awful. As far as for an animated movie, they look fine because they're like oil paintings. And sometimes like that kind of took me out of the movie at times, but it's not great, but it's not terrible because we have to kind of think through the fact that they are at the beginning of all of this.
Yes.
Not really, but like they've not done what they do with the new one, which that is completely animated as well, but in a live action type way. And so to think about the technology that they had, they do what they do. The backgrounds definitely take me out of it at times, but the characters are decent and okay. So that's why I gave it a 6.
All right. Not entirely unlike you. I gave it an 8 because in the same boat that they are, we're talking about a 1994 animated movie. There were obviously limitations that I don't even understand. I didn't do this, and I'll probably start doing this in the future. It's just kind of Googling some other animated movies from that time just to get a perspective. But it's obviously animated. Nothing at any given point ever looks realistic. But I respect it. I actually really appreciate it. And it's part of why I really don't like the live action looking one, because the things that they do with the animated, like when they jump into a song, like with specifically Just Can't Wait to Be King, and like immediately all the colors change and it's like a whole new like atmosphere. The expressions that the animals can have that animals obviously can't actually emote. Like I appreciate it and I enjoyed it and I love the way that it looks because it is this classic animated look that when I think of animated movies, this is kind of what I jump to. Mm-hmm. And then when I think of computer animated, I think of like the jump to what Pixar does. Mm-hmm. So I kind of put this in a box of like older animated movies and I like what they did with it, and so that's where I kind of like, I think I just, my scale was a little bit higher up, but it's the same kind of thing. It's older, I losing some points just because of that, but I still love what they did with what they had.
Very good. All right, voice acting, what you got for voice acting?
Also an 8. No one's super notable. I think that a lot, like looking through the names of the people, like so many of the names stand out to me, and I don't even really have it. Like I wasn't alive at this point in pop culture, but their names are still so notable now that it's impressive to me. But none of them are like super stuck. None of them are like nailed down characters, but everything seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, I said pretty good all around. I gave it a 9 because of the who they got to voice act people, that bumps it up in my mind. And there's a lot of but there's a lot of times that I heard voices and not characters with voices, if that makes sense. I've always thought like, oh, it's awesome that they got James Earl Jones to be Mufasa. Like, that's awesome. But when I hear Mufasa in this movie, I don't even know that it matches all that well. Because I pretty much just hear James Earl Jones at that moment. Kind of like I talked about with Dory and I can't remember who else I've talked to about that. But I think you might have even said Remy or something like that. I can't remember. But or I did. But
you said Remy, yeah.
Yeah. And so hearing some of the voices, it kind of took me out a little bit, but because of the caliber of people who they got to play some of these kids and some of these lions and all that, and so I definitely think it's pretty good, so I gave it a 9.
Soundtrack. I have a lot of appreciation for what they did in the newer one too. Mm-hmm. Where they cast specifically just all African cast, so that way it actually fits the characters that it's playing. I understand that different times is why that didn't happen the first time.
Sure.
And everyone in the first one is incredible, but I also like and appreciate, I think I like the voice cast of the 94 version better because it's more stuck in my mind, but I appreciate more what they did in the more recent one.
For sure. All right, soundtrack. I gave the soundtrack of this movie, and this is going to be my hot take.
Don't you do this to me.
It's a 5. It's completely overrated. It feels so weird to just jump in and out of these songs. Some of the times these songs don't even fit with what's happening. And it just hit me at this point in my life, and I just can't give it a good score. I know that's going to give me hate. I have a feeling that's going to give me a hate with your wife. But I feel like it just did not hit me the way it needed to this time. I do not really like any of these songs. They're not something that I'm going to turn on. Hakuna Matata does kind of stand out, but even that one is just, I don't know. I knew it was going to give me hate. I knew, but I have to be me, and so that's what I threw it your way.
Zachary, the soundtrack is a 10.
I completely disagree.
It is full of absolute bangers. They are so much fun, and I don't really care for Circle of Life. I see and understand why Can You Feel the Love Tonight would be so popular, but I don't, because of the music that was cut at that time. But Hakuna Matata and I Just Can't Wait to Be King are two of my favorite Disney songs, hands down. This is a 10. And we disagree in some areas, and we'll just, there's no changing either of us on this, so we're just gonna move on to characters.
That we are. Go ahead, characters.
Characters, I also gave it a 10. There's really no characters moments that are like, that I'm like, why are you doing, what are you doing? There's like a small period of time where Simba has to be convinced to come back. And when he realizes what's going on, he does. And so the growth of Simba, the childhood fear and trauma and running away and hiding, and then realizing that he's responsible for what is happening under Scar's leadership, because he should be the one that should be stepping up, and then going back and stepping up is a really cool growth moment for me. Nobody else really changes or grows at all in the story, but they all play their roles really well. The comedic relief, the sidekicks, the villain sidekicks, but they all like fit really well to show Simba's growth. And I really appreciate that.
Sure. I'm kind of right there with you, but I gave it an 8 because I feel like sometimes these characters can feel one dimensional, and so there's not a lot of depth to them. And so that's why I went down. But I didn't go down any further because they do transcend the movie themselves at times. And that has to matter. Like when you think of Disney characters, you would go to Timon, you would go to Pumbaa, you would go to Simba. Like those are three Disney characters above even like Lion King characters, if that makes sense. Like, you think of those three. And so they transcend the movie at times. And so that has to matter in my score. And so that's why I gave it an 8. Humor. I gave humor, I put a 7, but I'm going to bump it up to an 8. I feel like this movie is funny at times. Timon and Pumbaa obviously are the comedic relief, and there is some really good moments with them. I do like during Hakuna Matata when they are just talking and about Pumbaa's old life, and it just cracks me up that he just farts all the time, and it's so, like, it's just funny to me. Like, I think y'all have realized by this time that fart jokes actually do work for me. I know Pixar doesn't do that a whole lot, but fart jokes are funny to me. And so that's funny to me. The hyenas are pretty funny at times as well. And so I gave it an 8. What about you?
I gave it a 7, and I'll keep it at a 7 for the same reasons. It's not funny. there's some moments. There's a couple moments here and there. As questionable as it may be in our current climate, the song where they're doing the hula song, that gets stuck in my head every time I watch this movie. And sometimes when I don't watch this movie and I just, yep, it's right. Stuck in my head all the time. So there's a couple moments. It is not littered throughout. 7 actually feels a little bit generous when I'm thinking about it. But I love this movie, but not because it makes me fall out of my seat laughing.
Right, for sure. All right, ending. What do you have for ending?
Ending, I'll give it an 8. I was adjusting from what I said. I have some issues with kind of the plot of with it, specifically that happens with like the ending and surrounding Scar. But I'll talk about it a little bit more in 22, I think, but it's all right.
You have a jam-packed 22. I can't wait to get.
I got two real fun things. Maybe three. But the ending's it's a fine ending. There's some like plot issues that I have with it, but I don't want to get too much into it.
I gave it a 6. I feel like it begins how it ends, which is really cool. It's not really my most spectacular Disney movie ending. Scar gets his comeuppance, and that feels deserved, I guess. But there's nothing really super special about the ending of this movie that sticks out to me. It's just like, I feel like the bulk of the movie is pretty good, and they have to end it, so this is how they end it. Like, it's not really like something, it's not like a climax almost. It feels like just kind of something they threw together. Not threw together, but and the scene where
it's a natural ending.
Yeah, it's almost like the only place they could have went. And so the scene where he's fighting Scar and it's almost like stop motion. It's like hurrah! Hurrah!
That is a really weird moment.
And it's like not like fluid motion, and so that's kind of weird to me, but it's not bad. It's not a bad ending, but it's not something that really sticks out to me at all.
Yeah.
All right, so our final question of our Making Its Mark of today. Josh, how Pixar is this movie?
You're first.
I'd love to. I gave it a 3. The story beats are there. I feel like the story could, like, a movie about a lion. If someone said, hey, Pixar's making a movie about a lion, you could think, yeah, that would make sense. Sure, that makes sense. If you didn't know about Lion King, obviously. But it does not stand up in a lot of real ways. It's a Disney movie that a lot of people like. But as far as what Pixar does and how they tell stories, it's not there. It's not enough in that way. The music breaking into song, no. Timon and Pumbaa are great. But you don't typically see people that much of a comic relief in Pixar movies either. There is comic relief in Pixar movies, but like there is nothing those two do other than comic relief. And so I feel like that is something, while great and adds to this movie, it's not something that you typically see Pixar do. So I gave it a 3.
Interesting. I gave it a 5. It is not like Pixar movies. But what's funny is the only way that I actually felt like it was similar to Pixar movies is its characters. And specifically, I was thinking Timon and Pumbaa. They remind me a lot of the side characters in Toy Story. Or in like Finding Nemo. Like they don't really help that much for any plot. They're kind of along for the ride. They move it a little bit here and there, but not much. But they're just funny. They reminded me of like Rex and
Ham.
I was like, that's Hogs, not right. Can't believe that I blanked on that. Rex and Ham, they reminded me of Rex and Ham, or like Potato Head. Like they don't really, until the later movies, they don't do anything other than be funny. So I thought that was about the only way it is. Yeah, you're right. The animation doesn't look or feel like it. The music is not, the music is some of the most fun parts about, like, going to be the most fun about Disney's movies, but they're not, it's going to be one of the biggest thing that makes it feel not like Pixar.
Yeah,
that's where I think DreamWorks is going to have a better chance of feeling like Pixar than Disney, because they're not going to have the breakout into the song that Disney's known for. But that's part of what makes Disney movies so fun and last so long, is their music.
Sure.
Most notably, I Just Can't Wait to Be King and Hakuna Matata, You Old Grouch.
I think that's probably it, Josh. I'm a grump. I don't like to have fun. I think that's pretty much where my scores come from.
So true.
All right, so we added up our scores, and Josh is going to be mad at me. Josh has given this movie's an 82, and okay. I have landed at a 69.
Oh my goodness, Zach!
Which is, looking at it, not great, but I feel like it's where I'm at. And it's good. It's a good movie. I would say it's a good movie. I'll show it to Emery. I think it's good, but in a lot of the areas that we measured, I don't know that it really sticks up for me. And so that lands Lamp Stomp at a 75.5, making it the third ranked movie that we've watched so far. And to be fair, I know you ranked it above Shrek, but I feel like quality of movie, I feel like it is third of the three movies that we watched. Obviously, I do. But I feel like it's close to Shrek. There's such different movies. It's hard to compare those two
movies. It is really hard. So this is where we kind of come to, I think we're going to feel the biggest difference between Disney, maybe any movie that we're doing, and a Pixar movie, because this is very absolutely, you're going to show Emery, and I've already showed Addie, I'm going to show Ellie, and absolutely, this is a kids movie.
Yeah,
it's a kids movie. Yeah. And what it isn't is, it doesn't translate to be, there's nothing hidden that's more exciting and fun for adults. Like, yeah, you don't catch anything that the kids can't catch. And right, that's where it falls flatter than any Pixar movie ever could, or that it will always be flatter than a Pixar movie, because Pixar is going to hide a lot of stuff that's going to be fun for adults. There's going to be not inappropriate, but jokes that only the adults are going to get. There's going to be moments that you see characters grow that kids aren't going to catch. And this movie is going to be a great, fun kids movie for the rest of forever.
Yeah.
But it is a kid movie.
Yeah. I think that summed it up really well, Josh. Why don't we move into Woody's Roundup? Woody's Roundup. All right, Josh, who is your favorite character from The Lion King?
It is not Timon and Pumbaa. Or Pumbaa. It's neither of them. It's the hyenas, the three specifically, Shenzi, Banzai, and Ed.
Banzai.
Shenzi, Banzai, and Ed. I like their comedic relief more, and I feel like they're more helpful side characters. And it was so weird. As I was listening, one of them, not Whoopi Goldberg's, but one of, and not Ed, so I think it's Banzai, sounds exactly like the voice of, from Beauty and the Beast, Gaston's little sidekick, LeFlou, whatever his name is. But it's not the same person. It sounds exactly like him. I thought that I stumbled onto something super cool when I was like looking into cast. And I'm like, it's not even the same person, but it sounds so much like him.
That's funny. You know what's funny to me about this movie and the conversation we've had about it so far? We talked about this movie. We even talked about the music of this movie, and we did not talk about the one song that the hyenas are featured in. Be prepared. I forget that song is in the movie sometimes.
Yeah, because it's not that fun.
No, it's a good, it's one to skip. Not fun at all. But it's
a great, great song to skip.
Right. So my favorite characters are Timon and Pumbaa.
They're
a duo. I feel like they need to stay together, just like the three hyenas need to stay together too. So much so that they got their own spinoff movie. Have you watched Lion King 1.5?
I have. That was actually one of the 22 questions I was going to ask you, is what your thoughts are on it. Have you seen it?
We can talk about that later then. But the fact that they got their own movie, and it's crazy, but
yeah,
it's a lot of fun too. So yeah. All right. Least favorite character. I put Simba, and more specifically Kid Simba.
Yeah, he's a punk.
He makes a tons of poor decisions, like literally point blank. His parents tell him not to do something because it's dangerous. He's like, hey, let's go do that dangerous thing. and then like he's easily manipulated, which, I mean, he's a kid, so I mean that makes sense. But and then it even translates some into adult Simba when the only reason that he does the right thing is because Nala tells him to. And even that takes a bit of convincing, in my opinion. And so Simba's a difficult character, but that gives him the room for growth, and he does grow in some pretty legit ways. And so I'll even admit that he is an interesting character, but in this go around, he is my least favorite character.
Oh, that's interesting. Because he's the character. He's the only one that grows. The whole story revolves around him. That's interesting. I literally didn't write anything down. Rafiki, I guess, because he's just obnoxious, but he's also like one of the most important characters in Simba's growth. Like, he helps actually get him to think about things, but he's obnoxious on purpose, and it kind of is just obnoxious. So I guess I'll say Rafiki, because he's the only one I don't have any points where I'm like, I like him.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we move on to 22?
It is an honor having you prepare 22 for Earth.
I'm going to make you wish you never died.
So, Zach, tell me, you mentioned Lion King 1.5. You've seen it?
I have seen it. It's been a while, but I have seen it.
I don't think it at all deserves to be one of the movies that we do. It'll never be one that I pick. It's fun, but I don't want to ever do it. So I think it's fun to mention it here. You've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it for sure.
Yeah, if anyone who hasn't, it basically is just this exact movie, but from Timon and Pumbaa's perspective, where basically they make everything in this movie happen.
Literally, the beginning where all the animals are bowing, it's because Pumbaa farted.
Yeah.
It's not they're all passing being out. Respectful, they're passing out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it brings their characters... It makes them even more fun, and it has a lot of fun songs. But it was
so
it's very odd.
Let's connect that with the sequels in Pixar that we get that are from side characters. It doesn't have to be a long conversation, but when we think of Cars 2 and we think of Finding Dory, those are sequels that take the side characters and put them at the forefront.
Yeah.
I feel like, even though we think that Cars 2 is a really bad movie, which I don't think a lot of people think that Lion King 1.5 is a great movie, but we think of Cars 2 as a bad movie, at least Cars 2 and Finding Dory have character growth within their sequels about the side characters. Lion King 1.5 doesn't really do much with their characters because, like you said, it takes place at the same time, and so there's not really much you can do.
Yeah.
As far as growth goes.
Yeah, it's it's the best that you could do. I actually like it. I like what they did way more than like trying to make a different story with them. It's a funny, like behind the scenes almost look at the story, even though it's not really, it's just interesting. So it's just, I want to say like, it's not what actually happened, but also these are just stories that were told. So it doesn't matter. But it's fun. It's funny. It's actually the first it's the first movie I watched on Disney Plus when it first came out, like before I went to work. Hunter and I woke up and we're like, Disney Plus exists. And we like woke up and we like watched Lion King 1.5 while we got ready for work. We're so excited. I'd never seen it before. I didn't have any access to it. And now suddenly I have access to it. So Hunter wanted me to see it.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. I was about to say dug deep, but I really just Googled some translations of some of the words in this movie as far as their Swahili or other African language translations. And I just wanted to kind of go over some of them with you, because I think it does add a little bit to what we talked about. And so I want to take the main phrase from this movie, Hakuna Matata. And there's going to be a lot. I've got quite a few, but so the Hakuna Matata, Hakuna Matata is formed from the words Hakuna and Matata. Obviously, Hakuna means there is not here, and Matata means the plural form of problems. So there is not here problems, or no worries. Carly said when so my wife actually studied abroad and then went back on a mission trip and stayed for essentially a year and a half in Africa. And so she said one of the things that kind of struck her when she was over there is that when you would thank someone, they would essentially say, no matata.
No problem.
Like, yeah. And so like when you thank someone, instead of saying you're welcome, they would say no problem, which I thought is pretty cool. And she said that kind of stuck with her because of this movie. There is not here problems. I think that I'm going to just start saying that instead of Hakuna Matata. Then the African chant before the English in Circle of Life, it literally translates to, there comes a lion father. Oh yes, it's a lion. There comes a lion father. Oh yes, it's a lion. A lion, we're going to conquer. A lion and a leopard come to this open place.
Very interesting.
It is. Pumbaa can translate to, this is kind of bad, but it can translate to mean kind of like foolish or silly, weak-minded, careless or negligent.
Makes sense.
Timon actually does not have a African translation to his name, but it actually has a Greek translation to his name, which means he who respects. I don't really know
if that's probably intentional, but I don't quite see it.
Yeah, me either. Rafiki translates to friend. Simba translates to lion, pretty on the nose with that. Sarabi, who is Simba's mother, means mirage. Nala translates to gift. For the hyenas, Shinzi means savage, and Bonzai means to shulk or to lurk. And this one is the worst one ever. Apparently, before people started calling Scar, his name was Taka. Did you know that?
I did.
It literally translates to trash.
Yeah.
They name their kids, and Mufasa translates to king. So they literally name their kids King and Trash. Yeah. That's literally so bad.
It's really setting them up for their futures, huh?
Right. What's that about? All right. So that's what I've got for there. What
like
else
some
you got?
It's like some biblical names.
Right.
Like strong and mighty warrior and the one who's under his brother. Like,
yeah.
His name means literally he's under his brother. Like, okay. Rude. So I'm just going to vent to you my plot issues. I don't feel like they actually translate into the movie because there's nothing about this movie that the animals act like the way animals are supposed to act. So it didn't feel like it was worth mentioning. All of the animals that lions hunt don't come and bow down to them and respect them as the king. Like, that doesn't happen. But the way that the lions interact with each other is just odd. to me. So I Googled some stuff about like lion prides, and it just was interesting. Like Scar, it makes sense that he would not be like the head of the pride. But from what I was reading, it's kind of like if you're the male and you're not the head of the pride, you go and you find somewhere else to live. You're either on your own, and yeah. He kind of is. He's not really a part of the pride. He's kind of a rejected. He's kind of a rejected lion because his brother took over his pride. That makes sense. But what's weird is that when Simba leaves, no other male lion takes over. Like Scar was not good at fighting. That was clear from the beginning.
Right.
It's said several times. And so it naturally makes sense that some other male lion from somewhere, whether it was just one of the cubs that existed, or if it was just from a different area, like it's weird that no other lions ever took over when Scar was in charge and clearly doing a bad job. The other thing is just ecosystem stuff. I can see how hyenas ravaging a land and like the food chain getting all messed up would absolutely desolate an area over the course of a lion's lifetime, like over like 5 to 10 years. But what doesn't make any sense is how it immediately comes back as soon as Simba's in charge. Is like immediately everything starts to grow again when they put the hyenas in their place. It's like that would probably take a long time before that would ever come back, if it ever came back.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was interesting. It also showed that like some, and a lot of times like multiple lions will like kind of like co-lead several prides. Like it's just interesting that Scar stuck around there and didn't go anywhere else, and that when he was in charge, no other lions ever took over, because that's more likely what would have happened, is that he would have never led a pride no matter what.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the live action adaptation. And it doesn't really have to be an in-depth conversation, but I just want to kind of throw it at you and just see kind of what are your feelings on that? How did that translate to how you feel about this movie, and how that either took it a step further or took it a step down in your opinion? I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on the live action adaptation.
Oh, yeah. I like that it generated excitement for the story, but I really don't like it. The scenery is beautiful. It's not oil painting backgrounds.
Right.
But the story revolves around animals communicating with each other. And because they look so realistic, there's no emotion at any point. And so watching it's dull and weird. And it also, they naturally do a lot of spinoffs and change songs in some ways. And like that feels offensive because I love and appreciate these songs the way that they are.
Right. No, I kind of feel the same way. I like that we have it. It's something that we can watch, and it's cool. It's fun. But I don't really know that it added a whole lot to the mythos of Lion King. It just kind of is. But it is kind of funny when you Google Lion King, that's the first one that pops up, which is interesting.
I wish it wasn't.
Yeah. And so that's kind of an interesting wrinkle to the thing. But I think it's good for what it is, but I don't know that it really transcends what this movie does.
Yeah, definitely not. In fact, I actually think that in my mind, it kind of made me appreciate some of the like animated stylings of this movie more, because of the fact that the story is told better in the older animation style than a very realistic look, because they have more freedom to make the characters show what they're feeling and thinking. Whereas that's not, wasn't possible with the realistic ones. It made me appreciate the original significantly more.
Yeah, that makes sense. For sure.
My only thing that I really loved about the new one is I really like Donald Glover.
Oh yeah.
And I think the funny thing is, the thing that I like most about him in the new one is that he sounds so much like the original Simba.
That's funny. That's really funny, actually. All right. Did you have one more?
Yes. The Renaissance. Okay. Disney Renaissance. But let me do a quick overview. Reading from Wikipedia, the period from 1989 to 99 is when Walt Disney Feature Animation returned to producing critically and commercially successful animated films There are mostly musical adaptations of well-known stories. This is kind of like a resurgence, and where they were powerhouse successes in the box office and critically acclaimed and winning awards. So there are 10 movies from 89 to 99, one every year. I want to see if you can name all of them.
I can't. I already know I can't, but
start naming Disney movies and see if we can get there.
Obviously Lion King.
Yep.
I'm going to guess Aladdin.
Yep.
Little Mermaid, or was that before?
Little Mermaid's in there.
Okay. Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
This is where I struggle.
There are at least three that you should get, one that you absolutely should get.
Oh gosh. This doesn't include like Pixar, does it?
No.
Okay.
This is 89 and 99, just Disney's.
Why can I think? Mulan?
Yes. Those are one of the three that I thought you might get.
It's funny, I'm going through songs in my head right now. dude, this is harder than I thought it would be. I know I'm going to kick my butt when...
There's one that you will kick yourself for. I don't think you'll kick yourself for the other four. You got five right now. Out of 10.
I'm sure this isn't great podcasting, but let's see. Give me a few more seconds.
Yeah, you got this.
And I'm thinking through Disney princesses too, but a lot of those are older.
Think through the main, one of the most, I don't know, it's most popular Disney soundtracks, but it's a,
oh, Tarzan.
It's a great one. There you go.
It's literally one of the movies I chose for this whole thing. If you remember, I literally accidentally put it on my list twice.
Yeah, when you weren't getting Tarzan, I was like, he's gonna be mad if he doesn't get that. I'm gonna let him try to get there.
All right, throw the other ones at me. I'm sure I know him. I just can't think right now.
Yeah, so we've got The Rescuers Down Under.
Never would have got that.
It's pretty good.
I've heard it. I just never would have pulled it out.
Yep. Pocahontas.
Oh, I could have got that one.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I don't know that I could have pulled that out. I do know that movie. I've watched it. I just don't know that I could have pulled it out.
And Hercules.
I'm not a big Hercules fan.
Right. Right. It's the four. I didn't think you were going to get those four. Those were the four that were like, real toss-up. The other ones were like mainstays.
Yeah, I should have got Pocahontas.
So there you go. And those all did very well. And the box office did very well. They were critically acclaimed. And so... That was just interesting to me that we had two from the Disney Renaissance in our, not quite a Pixar, and it makes sense because this is
this is what we're trying to do. All right, Josh, why don't we move on to core memories?
But the really important ones are over here. I don't want to get too technical, but these are called core memories.
All right, Josh, what is your core memory for this movie?
I just can't wait to be king. No beating around the bush. That is, I love that song. It's a fun sing and dance time. It's your least favorite part about Simba, but it is, I love that song a lot.
That is interesting. That's fine. I'm going to say Mufasa and Simba playing After the Discipline. As someone who worked with kids and has kids for ourselves now, I feel like that time when the kid can realize for a second, like, yeah, I'm in trouble. I did something wrong, but my parents still love me, or who I'm with still loves me and cares about me. That time usually is one of the more special times, is when you both can kind of get over the problem that you just had and realize that you still care about each other. And Mufasa and Simba were able to do that. Mufasa was very upset that his kid disobeyed him and like put himself and Nala in harm's way. But he still loves and cares about his kid. And so in that moment, it was a teaching lesson, but it was also like a, hey, let's remember this time together. And so I just thought that was really special.
I love it. Yes. That's a great moment.
Josh, that's The Lion King. A lot of fun. I'm glad we watched it. I'm glad this was one of the first of, like you said, the Disney Renaissance that we actually watched. It's kind of been funny that we, the path that we have taken on the not quite Pixar journey so far is that we went to DreamWorks, like stalwart, like what DreamWorks is all about in some ways. And then we went to Disney's most recent popular movie in Encanto. And then now we're kind of getting into, or at least this week, we got into the bulk of what Disney is. Like if someone said, hey, show me a Disney movie, you would show them this one. Right. And so I feel like that's kind of been an interesting journey through our random wheel of movies. It's kind of led us on this weird journey. But that has been Lion King. This was a fun conversation that Josh and I were able to have. We're so excited for what's next. And so for Lamp Stomp, peace.